If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm home. When I'm home. Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam podcast here at Inside the Ropes. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by Finn Martin, and it's WrestleMania week. Hi Finn, how are you, and are you excited for the raging climax, the showcase of the immortals?
The raging anti-climax, as I think Sondra nicknamed WrestleMania 15, which I thought was very apt.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I would say that WrestleMania this weekend is going to be a little bit better than WrestleMania 15. So I am looking forward to it. I must confess that I won't be staying up. I'll be watching it on Monday. So that's all Monday taken care of. I won't be stopping up for it. So, but if you are stopping up, well, I hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot easier when you're over here and it's like during the day. Or the evening, rather than like, I mean, because if you're watching the UK, I think it goes on to like 5:30 in the morning.
Wow.
So, yeah. I did actually want to ask you, the other day, I was podcasting with David, and somebody had said that they thought this was one of the weakest WrestleMania builds in years, but then other people have said they really liked the build to it. Overall, what do you think of the build to WrestleMania this year, the matches they're putting on? Rank it up for us against other WrestleManias. Where do you see it?
I can see both sides of the argument here, Kenny, because when you think of, like, there's quite a lot of buffer matches. There's a lot of matches on that show which I fear are going to play before silence or some type of very little noise. People are going to have to work exceptionally hard to drag the audience into the match. So we've got quite a few matches there that don't really matter. And that's really a kind of sad statement to make. But I think in terms of the big matches, I think they've done a good job on some of the big matches. I wasn't really looking forward to Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar after Rollins won Royal Rumble, I've got to say. But, I mean, I think they've done more to make me interested in the match than I was when it was first made official. I think Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre, I don't think the build for that has been that thrilling. But, I mean, I think the match will still be a success on the night. I think it will really deliver. Obviously, the women's three-way match is the one that you would say has probably received the lion's share of the attention, and rightly so, because it's going on last. So I think that's done very well in terms of promotion. I think Miz versus Shane McMahon has been well done also, with a long-term storyline dating back to Crown Jewel. Fair to say, isn't it, Kenny?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I think that's probably correct.
I mean, we had them winning the tag team title. We had them losing the tag team title. Then we had them losing the rematch. And then we had Shane doing the turn, not the Miz. So that was something that I think most people weren't expecting. So I think that's been well done. Which other matches do you think have been well promoted, Kenny?
I actually think that Roman and Drew has been pretty well done, because if you think about it, there's a few matches on WrestleMania that actually have long-term stories, which what people complain they don't have. You know, Shane and The Miz really goes back to Crown Jewel in November. The Drew thing, I mean, you could argue that goes all the way back to maybe like October, where the Shield got back together, and you know, Drew was kind of beating up the Shield from then. You know, then he kept,
it did feel like they were keeping Drew and Roman Reigns apart, specifically for the purpose of pitting them against each other at WrestleMania, going way back then, didn't it?
Yeah, so I feel like and then obviously the Becky Ronda Charlotte thing kind of goes back to SummerSlam, which Becky talked about in SmackDown. So I think that this is one of the first years in a while where there does seem to be some long term plan, which is funny because some people are saying, well, this all just feels thrown together. And I mean, some of it does, but I don't know. I kind of like the fact that some of it's thrown together. I like the fact there's a lot of current roster guys who are in top spots who would not usually be. You know, Becky Lynch, Drew McIntyre. Kofi Kingston. There's a lot of people who are getting opportunities that wouldn't usually be, so I find that quite exciting as a fan.
Well, exactly. I mean, Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan's another one as well. I mean, that's been extremely well done ever since, I think it was February 12th it started. And I think that was when the Gauntlet match took place. So, I mean, ever since February 12th to April 7th, I mean, certainly this week's, as we'll talk about it, I'm sure, Kenny, I thought the contract signing segment between Kofi and Daniel Bryan on SmackDown was electric. So I think that's been very well done. So I think on balance, Kenny, I mean, you know, some people have got like, you know, they get the nostalgia goggles on, the rose-tinted spectacles about WrestleMania's past being so brilliantly promoted. And lots of the matches on WrestleMania's in the past have not been particularly well promoted. And also, obviously, there's far more matches now than there's ever been. So I don't think it's as easy. It's obviously far easier to promote effectively a show that features 7 or 8 matches rather than a show that, what have we got this year? Is it 15 matches this year? 16 matches?
17.
17 matches. And possibly may even be another one. So, I mean, you know, obviously you can promote effectively lots of matches. But, I mean, your big matches are always going to get more TV time than the lesser matches. And that's the way it's always been. So I think they've done a good job this year.
Well, so you look at one of the biggest matches of all time that people talk about is Rock and Hogan, right? And
sure.
The build to that was horrendous. because you had this great promo they cut in, I think it was Chicago, I think. And then Hogan tries to run him over with an ambulance.
Oh, was that the night after the No Way Out pay-per-view?
Yes.
I think it was.
Yeah. And then you had like Hogan pin Rock clean really like underwhelmingly and on a match on Raw. Like it was not built to be a classic by the way they promoted it.
Was that, I think, didn't they have, was it a Hall, Nash and Hogan versus, was it Austin and The Rock?
Austin and Rock, yeah, handicap match.
That's right, yeah. I mean, it wasn't a very good match. A lot of people...
That didn't fill you. I mean, if you watched that handicap match, you kind of go, oh my God, Rock and Hogan's going to be dire. And then look what happened.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think compared to some of the years, I think they've done very well this year. But definitely some of the matches have just been thrown together. Of course they have. With 17 matches, I mean, that's pretty much inevitable. So, yeah, I mean, I'm pleased with it. I mean, I'm looking forward to the show. I think it's going to be a good show. It's going to sag at various points and it's going to be probably too long. But I mean, that's to be expected now, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. So I think maybe the best way for us to approach this episode is just to go through the full WrestleMania card, and as we do it, talk about what's happened on Raw or SmackDown this week to build it. Just so we're kind of doing it. But before we do, a couple of things to bring up. Number one, Jim Ross has signed with AEW. He actually did talk about it on our podcast on Monday, which I'm pretty happy about. He kind of broke the news and said that... I'm going to read the quote that he gave us. He said, "Hopefully my tenure will eventually lead to me at AEW, which is where I've been negotiating and talking for quite some time. That's kind of what my goal is, to get my contract finished for AEW so I can start there and be a part of their presentation in May in Las Vegas for their pay-per-view Double or Nothing. I hope to have that finished by Wednesday. That's my target. I want to help mentor talent and be part of the management team. It's a great opportunity for me to get back in the game. And when I landed yesterday in New York, he had accomplished that goal. So what do you make of JR being involved with AEW and what that means for them?
Well, I mean, I think we all knew that this was where he was heading. I mean, it seemed inevitable. I mean, WWE obviously knew this was where he was going because, you know, if it had wanted to prevent this eventuality, it would have extended his contract. So I think it's good for Jim Ross that he's back doing what he wants to do, which is commentary, and he can work backstage. And I think his title, is it Senior Advisor? I believe that's his title.
Yeah, I think so.
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, you know, Jim Ross has served many roles in wrestling, as everyone knows, dating back to the 80s, dating back even further than that. So, I mean, he's somebody that can do lots of different things in a wrestling company. He's very experienced. He knows how to do press. he's somebody that everyone's going to want to interview. He'll be talking now about All Elite Wrestling instead of WWE. So I think it's a good move for him. I think it's a good move for All Elite Wrestling as well, because of all the things that he brings to the table and all the contacts and what have you that he has. I did read somewhere that apparently he's getting paid a huge amount of money. Did you read this as well, Kenny?
I've not, but it doesn't surprise me.
But it's like, what I'm not getting here is, where is all the money coming from to pay all these people these huge contracts? I mean, we're hearing that Chris Jericho is getting paid a fortune. The people backing it are very wealthy, I get that. But I mean, the idea is that a promotion has to take in more money than it spends. So at this moment in time, I'm not quite working. I'm not seeing how this company can be financially successful. Maybe next month, Double or Nothing, they'll announce a TV deal. And maybe that TV deal will pay them huge money and all the questions will be answered. But at this moment in time, there's a big question mark about the sustainability of this company as a business entity. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the show next month in Vegas. And I'm looking forward to getting some answers, Kenny, about how this all works financially.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have JR there. I think he does have, you know, I said this to him on the interview on Monday. I think that I think he's got a point to prove, you know, because he has had critics this year or last year who kind of said, you know, well, he's kind of, you know, he's not as good as he used to be in commentary and all that kind of stuff. And I think he does, you know, I don't remember the last time that that Jim Ross called a match or called a show where I was, oh, God, he's on fire. You know, he's doing great. And I think this might give him the kick up the arse to do it. I hope it does. But he, you know, he was influential in helping kind of run WWE essentially during the late 90s. So he does know what he's doing.
Sure.
And I think he's a good person to have. And I just hope that on commentary, I don't know who you put him with, but I think you need to put him with somebody who's going to enhance him and make him good.
Yeah, you definitely need to put him with somebody who's going to push JR. But I agree. I think Jim Ross has been phoning it in for years. He's just absolutely resorting to the cliches and just really hasn't felt like he's, you know, we've just watched WrestleMania 15 again. Now, we know he had something to prove there. And you could say, well, that's different. But OK, go with 2001 when he was working with Paul Heyman. We've talked about this before on the Overrun, haven't we, Kenny, that Jim Ross and Paul Heyman was at that time was one of the greatest commentary teams ever.
Maybe the greatest, yeah.
Maybe the greatest. I mean, you know, I've always got a soft spot for Vince McMahon and Jesse Ventura because they were the kind of the first team that I ever heard.
They were great. If you're younger and you've not heard them, go back and like watch some Saturday Night's Main Event or like some old stuff. Like, they were great.
Exactly. I mean, I grew up with Ken Walton, you know, in British wrestling, and Ken Walton was actually outstanding in his own way, but he was totally different to Jesse and Vince McMahon, and they had tremendous chemistry together, and I had no idea when I first started watching that Vince McMahon was the guy who was running the company, and looking back, it was even funnier that Jesse Ventura would talk to Vince like that. So, you know what, I've always got a soft spot for them. But JR and Paul Heyman 2001 were, you know, I think it was February 2001 through to November 2001. I mean, they were on fire. As I mentioned, JR at WrestleMania 15, obviously he did have something to prove there for reasons that, you know, look him up. I don't need to go into them. But he was just, I mean, you could tell that this was like all that mattered to him at that moment was going out there and putting in this killer commentary performance. And that's what he did on the Steve Austin versus Rock match. So I'm hoping he's going into All Elite Wrestling with that same sort of fire and that desire. Sorry, fire and desire. That's bringing up Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. You know, I'm hoping he's got... Well, man, they're pretty hot, aren't they, Kenny? Well, at least they were at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping... Not very hot ever since. But I'm hoping Jim Ross is going into All Elite Wrestling with, as you say, something to prove. To let the world know that he's still got it and that he can still bring it. So I'm hoping he's going to do that.
And then before we talk about WrestleMania, I do want to bring up the John Oliver piece that took place that everybody's talking about, where he kind of slated WWE and their lack of kind of, you know, the whole independent contractor debate, which has been going on for years. And I just wanted to get your take of, do you think that somebody, you know, HBO late night host bringing that up is... I mean, what do you think? Is there any outcome to it, any consequence, and how do you think Vince McMahon's reacting to the idea that a guy on HBO late night is basically slating him for having all this money and not giving his employees health insurance or his wrestlers?
Oh, well, it's fair enough, isn't it, Kenny? I mean, this has been going on for years. I mean, Raven, Chris Kanyon, Mike Sanders, they tried to challenge it in 2008. Talked about this before, but the statute of limitations had expired, so their case was thrown out. The only person to other person in wrestling, to my knowledge, who has challenged this is Daphne in 2011 when she filed a lawsuit against TNA. And that was all about, it's quite a complicated case. We talked about it in depth in our interview in the Power Slam Interviews Volume 2, but that there was a groundbreaking thing that she did, and that dragged on for a long time. So as far as I know, and if I'm wrong about this, I will stand corrected, only two groups of people have attempted to challenge this. I always felt that it was something that a veteran wrestler might try and challenge, because I feel like the press, or the media as it is now, would support it, would get behind that story, and would shine a spotlight on it. I always felt that some veteran or a group of veterans would try and challenge this, but it's never happened. Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely right, Kenny. I mean, they are classed as independent contractors. And yet they are not treated as independent contractors. I mean, it's very simple. If you work for WWE, you cannot work for anyone else without their permission. You cannot negotiate your own endorsements or deals on anything. How are you an independent contractor? You aren't. So it's very much a one-sided contractual system there. But the wrestlers don't want to rock the boat because for many, it's their dream to work there. And if you get to a sort of mid-level or above that, the financial rewards are huge. I mean, you don't want to rock the boat. So I understand why the wrestlers themselves don't challenge it. And also, if you leave when you're 33 or 34 or 35 or even a little bit older, there's almost always the possibility that you may return. Then there's other things that you could make money from through your connection with WWE, which you would torpedo, basically, if you were to file or to challenge the independent contractor classification in court. So, you know, it's going to take somebody or a group of people who are going to have to be willing to take a financial hit in order to ever challenge this. But I don't see any outside agency ever challenging it. I mean, it's been like this for decades. It's not like the IRS or any other, agency in the States has come forward to WWE and said, no, you cannot classify your contractors as that. They must be classed as employees and you must pay them this, 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 and this. No actual government agency has ever insisted that that happen. So I'm not sure who breaks the status quo here. This piece won't make any difference to anything in the long run. It's probably going to be up to the wrestlers to affect change. As I've just said, Kenny, in order for that to happen, some people are going to have to sacrifice themselves, hypothetically, figuratively speaking, I mean, not literally. But some people are going to have to take a hit for the betterment of all. Maybe it'll happen one day. I mean, I don't know. I don't know whether it ever will.
Okay, so let's get straight into WrestleMania, which obviously is the we'll go through the whole kind of show. There is a rumored match. The Revival, obviously, on Raw defeated Aleister Black and Ricochet by count out, and then Black and Ricochet are now kind of going on SmackDown. So, but then did you see there was a WWE.com exclusive video of Ryder and Hawkins talking to the Revival about maybe getting a match at WrestleMania, and that seems like a way they might go. What do you make of this as a potential tag title match for the Revival at WrestleMania against Hawkins and Ryder? I guess this could be where Hawkins finally gets his win.
I didn't see this WWE.com exclusive, Kenny, so I'm not aware of it. It doesn't really feel very big time, does it? You know, I mean, to me, it's a real shame because I think I talked about this a few weeks ago. The Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder thing was a really easy story to tell. And I think fans would be really into it. And I think they really would be into the idea of Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins winning the tag title and Curt Hawkins finally ending his losing streak with a tag team championship victory. I mean, if it's just thrown together on the website, then it's not really going to have that much impact, is it, if it's presented on the kickoff? I'm not excited about this at all, Kenny. If they're going to do this, why not wait until after WrestleMania and do it properly?
Yeah, it's a fair point. I mean, I would have liked to have seen this built up. I think there was some mileage in Hawkins' story being built up of him not being able to get the win. But,
I think so. I mean, if you go back and look at his participation, his contributions to the Royal Rumble, he's over. He's an over entity, you know, not over as a superstar, but he's over as a mid-level player. And I think that you could certainly get a lot more mileage out of this than they got out of the B team as tag team champions last year. So I don't know. I would prefer that they did it properly over a period of weeks, and they were to receive the tag team title shot on the next pay-per-view. And maybe, to be honest, they don't have to win it in their first shot. They could win it in their second or their third. But I think there's a lot of mileage in this. I think it's something that people would really respond to. What's the point of doing it? What's the point of just throwing it out there on WrestleMania? Just get lost in all the other matches.
So then on SmackDown, we saw an 8-man tag, which ended up with Alexa Bliss announcing that we're going to see the Usos defend the tag titles against The Bar, Nakamura and Rusev, and Ricochet and Aleister Black. Very underwhelmed by this. I said this to Sondra to David the other day. I really am not connecting with the Ricochet and Aleister Black team, and I think it's because I don't believe that they are a team. I don't know why they're a team. I don't know why they're friends, and it's just not really working for me.
No, I mean... I don't really see why they're together either. I think Ricochet is somebody who can do well as a singles player. I'm not so sure about Aleister Black. But as a tag team, have they done like a promo? I think they did a promo together when they were originally introduced, but we haven't heard much from them since. You're right. Why are they a team? You know, what is their motivation? You could say that about lots of people who are in tag teams in WWE. Well, I mean, what's Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura's motivation, Kenny? I mean, do we know? We don't, do we?
He's just cosplaying as Kane. That's all we know.
So, the Usos, they got the pin, didn't they, in the match. I thought it was quite an average thrown together 8-man match. Then, as you say, Alexa Bliss came out and she announced that the Usos would have to defend against the other three teams at WrestleMania. This is one of those matches that we were talking about earlier about that have been just thrown together. And this will be one of those matches that I think will struggle to provoke a response from the audience, who will treat it as one of the many intermissions of the evening. So, I think they're going to struggle on the night. Don't really care about this match. Can't imagine that the Usos are going to drop the tag team title. Feels like a huge come down for the Usos after their run with Shane McMahon and The Miz. And that's, you know, that's pretty sad when they feel greatly devalued when they're going into the biggest show of the year.
Yeah, I feel like this match is probably going to be pre-show, this four-way. We've got the Women's Battle Royal, which I think the current announced participants are Dana Brooke, Mickie James, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, Sarah Logan, Nikki Cross, Zelina Vega, Sonya Deville, Asuka, Carmella, Naomi, Lana, Mandy Rose, and then Lacey Evans isn't listed on it, but maybe she is going to be a part of it. I've got to say, although the Battle Royal is not exactly that exciting, I did really enjoy Nikki Cross and Asuka on SmackDown this week. They were getting involved, I thought they were wacky. I loved the spot when Nikki Cross was, was on the back of Shelton Benjamin, and then he flipped over and she stayed on him when she got to the ground. Asuka eliminating Jeff Hardy and kicking EC3 in the head. I thought they were really good, and I really hope Asuka wins this and just destroys all of them.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter who wins, and it's the same with I'm sure we'll talk about the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Who cares who wins? I mean, it's like there should
There's
be
no
something
stakes.
At stake. Pardon?
There's no stakes, yeah, you're right.
Exactly. I mean, this has been going on. Was the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal? I think that was, first one was in, was it 2014?
Yeah, WrestleMania 30, yeah.
I mean, there's never been anything at stake in all the Battle
We've
Royals.
We've had five winners so far, and none of them have gone on to have anything because of it.
Yeah, so it's just like, they might as well call it the excuse to get everyone on the show a battle royal. That's what they might as well call it. And the women's battle royal is, again, equally, I mean, well, it's not pointless because it gives them a purpose on the show. But if there's nothing at stake, then why bother having it? And how difficult is it to add a stipulation or a prize to this? I just don't understand why there isn't one for both of these battle royals. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Nikki Cross and Asuka, it was a fun square off. These two can have a few. I mean, they had a feud in NXT that was really well done. They could have a main roster feud. I know both are, strictly speaking, baby faces, but it wouldn't be that difficult to turn one of them. Seems to me like a feud that they should give us in the post-WrestleMania season.
And yes, I mean, it's kind of more of the same, but the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, Braun Strowman and the two comedian guys from Saturday Night Live are more of the story. I mean, who really cares, you know?
Exactly, who cares? I mean, these two, I mean, they put an image on screen, didn't they? Braun Strowman was to the right of it, and there had Colin Jost and Michael Shea to the left of it, and then we had all the full-time talent in the middle who were very small, so it didn't seem like they really mattered, and this was all about Braun versus the two Saturday Night Live guys, which is exactly how it's been promoted. So, I mean, who cares who wins, Kenny? Because it's not going to make any difference to the careers anyway.
No, none whatsoever. Speaking of who cares, Buddy Murphy's going to defend the Cruiserweight title against Tony Nese. Honestly, this is the match I'm least... Like, see the Battle Royals, I can kind of get into them because there's some fun elements to it and there's people that you like who are in there and all that stuff, but I could not give any fucks about this match whatsoever. I cannot find... I mean, Tony Nese, God bless him, but who cares? And I mean, Buddy Murphy. I like Buddy Murphy, but I feel so bad for him that this is what he's lumbered with at WrestleMania. Because it's just, anything that people have said critical of 205 Live and why I don't watch it is just exemplified by this.
It is. You're absolutely right, Kenny. I mean, it's like, this is the biggest audience they will play before this year. Why are they not presenting a match that may convert people to 205 Live followers? How difficult it is it? You know, I mean, I don't know. I just don't get it. I mean, you could say, well, I don't want Ricochet to go on 205 Live because that's like the wilderness. You know, that's like sending him to Coventry type thing. It's like, you know, you are now on the persona non grata list. But it's like if Ricochet was on 205 Live and he was vying for this title, I think people would care about it. And you might think, well, that will then doom him. He'll never be able to come back to the main roster. And that's also possibly true. But if someone like Ricochet were the Cruiserweight champ, I think that brand would be doing a lot better. I mean, that's what they need, really, is they need people on there that are going to be draws, that are going to draw people to the TV program. Can I just ask you a question, Kenny, about the big WrestleMania stadium experience? How long does it take you to get from your seat to the bar and back again?
Well, you know, it's funny because it depends where you're sitting, right? It depends if you could be at a section where you've got a bar right beside you. You could be one where there's a couple down. What I tend to do is I tend to wait until entrances have happened and a match has started because then things might die down a little bit. And plus, you don't want to miss anything. But I would say you could probably get to the bar and get a drink and get back if you plan it well, 5 minutes. If not, 10. If you're stupid, 15 to 20.
Right. Well, the Cruiserweight match sounds like the time to go to the bar, Kenny.
Oh, 100%. As soon as I see that graphic, I'm away.
The only problem is, probably that's when everyone else will go to the bar and you'll miss part of the following match.
Yeah, no, that is true. Loads of people will go to the bar at that point. Well, the hope is that I think it was WrestleMania 32 in Dallas where they didn't open the doors in time. So then we ended up like stuck in a concourse, like trapped for about an hour. And the only way that and this was during the pre-show, so if you go back and watch it, like Kalisto and Ryback, there's nobody in the building. It's really dead. And then, you know, we ended up just making it to our seats about literally 90 seconds before the pay-per-view went on air. So we missed the whole pre-show. So hopefully...
I mean, missing the Kalisto match, Kenny, must have ruined the whole evening for you.
I just found it difficult to get into the show, you know? Because how can you do that when your favourite of all time has already been on? Anyway, Bayley and Sasha defend the women's tag titles against Nia Jax and Tamina and Natalya and Beth Phoenix and Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. What are you making of this match? And what a performance by Beth Phoenix on Raw. She's not wrestled properly in, what, 9 years? 6 years? 6 years? And she just looked great.
She did look really good. And in stark contrast, the Iconics looked terrible. I mean, at one point, Bayley threw Billie Kay out of the ring, and the bump Billie Kay took was like horrible, just in slow motion. I mean, the Iconics just amateur hour when they were in the ring. Just looked dreadful.
It's a real shame because they don't seem to be getting any better.
No, I mean, this was bad. And you're watching and you're thinking, well, yeah, it'll improve. It'll pick up. They'll get into the rhythm. You know, their timing will improve. There'll be less hesitation. And it just never changed. I mean, they just didn't look like they deserved to be there. And that's kind of a hard, it's kind of a sad thing to say because I like the characters. But I mean, as wrestlers,
I like the promo on SmackDown.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah,
I like everything they do until they wrestle. Everything until they wrestle, I'm all about. But as soon as they start wrestling, oh god!
And they were in this match all the way, weren't they? Because Tamina Snuka and Nia Jax, I don't think they were. Did they even tag in to the match?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Because when Beth speared Tamina through the thing, was Tamina legal? I don't think so.
No, if she was outside, and yeah, she did the spear, and there's that collapsible section of the barrier that fell down. But I think it was mostly the Iconics in this match, and it was much worse for it. So I'm hoping we're not going to see too much of the Iconics this Sunday. Yeah, so hopefully they won't leave the leave WrestleMania as champions.
So then we have Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio for the US title. I like Samoa Joe kind of handily getting to defeat Ali and get some stuff on SmackDown, but Baron Corbin beating Rey Mysterio clean on Raw, I mean, that just, what was that all about? I feel like they got a little bit of interest in the Joe Mysterio match last week, and then they kind of killed Rey's credibility this week, so the match just doesn't really seem to have anything going for it.
Yeah, I mean, we were supposed to see a Rey Mysterio versus Kurt Angle match on Raw. That was advertised in advance, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, and then we didn't get that match because Baron Corbin came out and was really unpleasant to Kurt Angle. And then Rey Mysterio runs out and there's a little bit of a scuffle there. And then it's Corbin versus Rey Mysterio in the main event. I think that was the worst Raw main event of the year. I mean, it was just like no noise, just very sobering response to Corbin. I mean, how the hell can WWE's Royal Family look at Corbin after the response to that match? And Rey Mysterio is a guy who has pretty much got over with everyone during this comeback. And even Corbin couldn't get over with him. I mean, how the hell does Baron Corbin versus Rey Mysterio as a match not get over, given the height difference? I mean, that match should be a hit. You know, in anywhere, you know, any building, in pretty much any spot apart from, you know, last match of a pay-per-view. But that match should have worked, and it didn't. It was a massive flop. And as you say, Mysterio did the job to Corbin. I mean, this didn't really do anything for Corbin. And it really, to me, devalued Mysterio going into this match with Samoa Joe at WrestleMania. So I just thought, yeah, very, very underwhelming finale conclusion to Raw this week. Really, yeah. Should have been a lot better. Should have been far better.
We've got Bobby Lashley versus Finn Balor. Balor's going to be the Demon. For me, if you take out the fact that, you know, why the fuck did he not become the Demon to take on Brock Lesnar, I do think that adding the Demon aspect to it, it increases the interest of people in this match by like 100%. So I think their match should be decent, and I think Balor as the Demon at WrestleMania should be fun. So it would be nice to see Finn Balor at WrestleMania get to, you know, be featured and somebody gets a win and he's not just like an afterthought.
Yeah, I mean, this segment I didn't think was really that impressive either. And we had Lashley and Leo Rush out there declaring their, you know, confidence and their so self-assured they're going to win. And then Finn Balor appeared on the big screen and then he became the Demon. Bit of a flat response to Finn Balor's transformation into the Demon with the makeup. I think the most thing I'm most looking forward to with this match is Finn Balor's entrance as the demon. So I'm hoping they really push the boat out there. And I think if they do give him like a spectacular entrance, I think it will energize the crowd for this match, which otherwise this could very much be one of those matches where the fans aren't really that bothered, because we've seen it before multiple times. So I think if we have like a spectacular entrance, I think that will set these two for success on the night. I mean, if they have 12, 13 minutes, we know they can have a hell of a match. It's just, will the crowd be with them, Kenny? That's the worry I have on a show of this length with so many matches. This could be one of those matches where fans aren't really that animated.
Yeah, I think this is a good match to have in between like two bigger matches, because you've got the lure of the demon. You know, Lashley is pretty good.
He hasn't had a lot of,
you know, and I think that him and Balor could have a nice kind of 10-minute match if it's positioned right. The problem is you don't want to put it in a death spot. You don't put it right before the main event or anything. So I think that's going to be the key to the. There's some of the matches on this show that I don't know about you, but I think that where they are placed on the show will indicate how good or bad the reaction is going to be.
Yes, I agree.
Which, speaking of which, AJ Styles versus Randy Orton, I think this should open the show. And I thought that the promo this week with them and the Kevin Owens show was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. If you'd told me 2 months ago when the AJ Orton match was being discussed that they would have two segments where I would be really into it and I would be looking forward to the match, I would have called you crazy. But here we are, Finn. And I got to admit, I did enjoy the segment on SmackDown. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they do.
Yeah, I mean, they were saying things that no one was expecting. You know, Randy Orton's there saying, I've been here in WWE since 2002. You were working the bingo halls before two dozen people for $50 a night. So we've got that whole sort of thing, kind of like Daniel Bryan when he first came in 2010, very much like that, with the Daniel Bryan-Michael Cole feud. So we've kind of got a repeat of that. But I mean, it's interesting to hear Styles say that Orton had been suspended for failing drug tests. And then Orton said that in John Cena's absence, AJ Styles is the corporate bitch. And it was really funny where they sat there and then Kevin Owens just stood up and left. And it's like, yeah, that was actually a really funny touch there. I know what's coming. And then we got the big brawl. Also, Styles had mentioned that Randy Orton's only got one move. And that set up, you know, when they had the big brawl after Kevin Owens departed, AJ Styles hurls himself at Randy Orton with the phenomenal forearm. And as he's on his way down to mat level, Orton hits the RKO, leaves Styles laying. So will that scene be repeated at WrestleMania, Kenny? Or will Styles get the win? But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the match, Kenny. I think it's going to be a real professional, proficient presentation, and I concur. This should open the show. I think it'll open the show with a bang.
Yeah, then we've got Shane McMahon versus The Miz in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Obviously, we had The Miz defeating Sanity, RIP Sanity, from this week. But you know, The Miz is trying. He's doing some decent work. Shane's been a good heel. What are your expectations of this match at the show?
I think it's going to be, there's going to be at least one big stunt, possibly two. I definitely think that the Falls Count Anywhere aspect benefits the match greatly. I think it's going to be a match that people are going to be into because it's been built up very well, as we've already said. I just think it's going to go arena-wide and they're going to set something up really. It's going to be like some big show-stopping stunt here. Hopefully it won't be anything quite as ridiculous as Shane's leap off the Hell in a Cell cage, and it'll be something that'll be a little bit safer than that. But I think they're going to have a good. I think it'll be a lot more memorable than Miz's handicap match with Sanity, Kenny. Not that would be very difficult, of course.
No, not at all. Now, so there is the rumor of a John Cena match. Do you give us a prediction if John Cena does have a match at WrestleMania? Is there someone you think it would end up being against? I'm going to go with Lars Sullivan.
Well, I mean, Elias is going to do something. I think Undertaker is going to interrupt Elias, but I could be wrong about that. It could be Cena. In saying that, Kenny, We did have Elias versus Cena in a tag team match, didn't we, at the Australia Super Show back in October?
Yeah, well, Elias actually interrupted Cena last year at WrestleMania.
Okay, so that probably won't happen then. So I think it will be Elias Undertaker, which is one. That's probably to me the best way to use the Undertaker on this show. As for Cena, I don't know. I mean, it seems like most of the other stars are accounted for in the Battle Royal or in major matches. I suppose it could be an NXT call-up, might, as you say, Lars Sullivan. Maybe it will be Lars Sullivan Cena, and Sullivan will crush Cena. I really don't know. Apparently, he's going to be there. It's just going to be a small part of the show, I think, if he does a match, which is, I think, the best use for him at this point in his career.
Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin. We got that tremendous video package on Kurt Angle's career on Raw. Really worth checking out if you've not seen it. But then we had Corbin end up beating Rey Mysterio. I think that in seeing Kurt Angle wrestle the last few weeks, and always talked about it, that I totally understand why he's not facing somebody bigger, because I don't think he's physically able to. But I just... going out in a whimper against Baron Corbin is just going to be a bit of a shame, given who he was, what he did for wrestling, and how good he was.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but I mean, at least it's on a big show. Presumably, he's going to get the win. I think it will be a moment, even if he faces Corbin. I think it will still be quite special, because I think Angle will call it quits after this match. I can't see him continuing to wrestle after that. So I think most people accept that this probably is the end for him. So even if the match is short and really just mediocre, I think the aftermath will be special.
We've got Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre. Drew getting the beatdown on Roman this past Monday. I'm looking forward to this match. I think it's a fresh match. It's a new one. And I think no matter who wins, I think this could actually be one of the best matches on the show, because you can guarantee that Drew McIntyre is not going to want his first really big singles WrestleMania to be a flop, and Roman's is his first big match back. I think they're both going to have their working boots on. I think it should be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I am a little bit concerned about the reaction. I mean, Roman was booed on this week's Raw. I'm sure you heard that, Kenny. There's quite a few
boos. He was.
So it feels like the honeymoon period's over, and if Reigns receives a rough ride from the crowd at MetLife Stadium, that could well spoil the match. I mean, we saw what happened last year. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near that bad, but we saw what happened last year, and it basically ruined the match. But I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, these two will be eager to go out there. They'll be striving for something close to perfection on the night, I'm sure. And whoever wins, whoever wins, it will be a big win, and it's really going to put them in contention for a Universal title shot, I would have thought. So if Seth Rollins does win the title on Sunday, and I'm not sure if he's going to, and Drew defeats Roman Reigns, that would set Drew up nicely for a title shot at the next pay-per-view, I would have thought. Would you agree, Kenny?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think Drew Seth would be really good. Interested to see where Roman goes in the next couple of months. There's a lot of...
Yeah.
Especially with his character. Triple H versus Batista, no holds barred match. If Batista wins, Triple H must retire from wrestling. Finn, I've just got one thing to say to you. Kiss my ass.
I thought you were going to say, you know, there's just one more thing. It's been emotional! Batista's verbal performance on Raw this week wasn't very emotional, wasn't very memorable, and yeah, I thought it was a bit of a flop, really, this week. This is one match that I do worry about. I've worried about it ever since the start, that they might be out there for too long. The no-holds-barred stipulation does give them far more leeway. It means they could do lots of things that should provoke an easy pop if the match is dying a brutal death. But I mean, Batista's performance this week was just like, that's the best you can do the week before WrestleMania. This is the best you can do the week before WrestleMania. I think that these two are going to need some help. So I'm hoping there's going to be quite a few run-ins and quite a lot of extras and add-ons. Presumably Ric Flair will be involved in some capacity. But I mean, this match could struggle on the night. What do you think, Kenny?
Yeah, I mean, this match could be really fun if they book it well. They just need to make sure that they, you know, either, like you said, either make it very shenanigan-driven or short. And, you know, Triple H, I read somewhere that somebody said Triple H should come out as Thanos from the Avengers, which I totally think he should. Because it's ridiculous. So that could be good. Okay, so it's time for the top three matches. Daniel Bryan, Kofi Kingston for the WWE title. I'm with you. I thought the contract signing segment on SmackDown was really good. I don't think Kofi was necessarily a great promo, but I think he was real, and I think that's what won people over to him.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I thought Daniel Bryan, this was... I mean, he's put in some pretty damn good shifts on the mic, and this was one of his best performances yet. But he's there yelling at the crowd and, you know, don't be a bystander. And it's really funny. It's sort of like his advice is sort of good advice, you know, his advice, but it's just so over the top that people are booing him. And that's what makes it even funnier. So I thought Bryan was outstanding on the mic on SmackDown this week. And Kofi was really good as well. Just, you know, the self-control is just there, you know, sitting back, observing. You know, he's not showing any weakness. And then it's finally his turn to talk. And Brian's there looking a little bit worried. He's like, you know, what's going to happen? You know, can I beat this guy? And I thought Bryan was really great when he's on offense and possibly as good when he was on defense, really selling for Kofi as Kofi took the mic. I think this match is going to be a big hit on the night. Obviously, we saw Bryan versus AJ Styles at Royal Rumble. That match was not a hit with the crowd on the night, but I think this one will be because the story is so good. I think people want Kofi to win. I think they want to see Bryan lose. And I hope that's the outcome that WWE delivers on the night.
Give them the happy ending that they
exactly.
want.
Exactly.
Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. I feel quite bad for Seth Rollins because what was, I guess, going to be his year's kind of, you know, it's now the Becky and Kofi stuff has kind of overshadowed it for him.
Yeah.
What do you make of the stuff they did on Raw where you had Seth kind of get some comeuppance on him, get a curb stomp, and who do you think walks out with the title on Sunday?
I mean, I enjoyed it. I would have liked to have heard Lesnar say something. I mean, he was there laughing in Seth Rollins' face. I thought it was interesting where we had Rollins using two low blows, so to illustrate that there is no depth to which he will not stoop to defeat Brock Lesnar. Lesnar's selling once again the best in WWE. I mean, there's no one sells like this guy. And like every wrestler should be looking at Lesnar and saying, look at the reaction he gets by selling. I'm going to do that as well. So, I mean, I enjoyed the segment. I thought it was well done. I mean, you're right. Rollins has been overshadowed by Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan and the women in the main event. But I think this match still feels big to me. It still feels like a match that's WrestleMania worthy. So I am looking forward to it a lot more than I was when it was first confirmed after Royal Rumble. I'm not sure who wins. It's hard for me to believe that they're going to give us a Kofi win, a Becky win, and a Seth Rollins win all on one night. I think if someone has to fall, I think it's Seth who should fall because I think he's the one who can take the loss better than the other two. So if anyone's going to fall, I want it to be Seth.
And then obviously the main event is, of course, the women, the triple threat match with Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch. All three belts are going to be on the line, Finn. What do you make of the idea of having both belts on the line? And what do you think now we're at the home stretch, we're about to get to WrestleMania, what do you think of the build of the match and... Is everything being set in place for this to become, you know, a classic?
I think it has. I mean, the hype for it has been, some of it's been questionable. Some of it could have been better. I mean, a lot of people are still resentful that Charlotte Flair has been added to this. And why is the SmackDown Women's title on the line as well? Since the real issue was Lynch versus Ronda Rousey for the Raw Women's title, I absolutely get that. I think it probably would have been better had it just been those two, and then Charlotte could have defended against someone else. I think that would have been a cleaner presentation and would have preserved or helped preserve the status or the prestige of the SmackDown Women's title because that could have been defended against someone else. I know we talked last week about, you know, who was there, who could Charlotte have faced. Well, you know, that's another story. That's something we kind of discussed, and we didn't really come up with a contender, which is the reason why Charlotte was in this match and it was a triple threat. So it kind of feels like maybe there's too many people involved. But I think it's almost like a situation where they looked at all the options and they've said, right, well, if we do this, it's not going to be as good as it could be if we do this. So I feel like WWE has done what it feels is the best it can do under the circumstances. And there's not really a whole lot of points saying, well, if they'd done this and they'd done that and they built this person up and brought this person in, then it would have been different. Well, yes, it would have been. But, you know, we are where we are. You know, this is where we're at, and this is how they decided to proceed. So I think the match will be a hit on the night. I think it will be a success. I think afterwards, Becky Lynch, who's presumably coming out as champ, she will then vacate the SmackDown Women's title and Becky Lynch will stay on Raw. That's what I think is going to happen, which will then give us a tournament, presumably, for the SmackDown Women's Championship. And some people will complain about that and say, well, why are we having this tournament? If only they'd done this. Well, yeah, we can't turn back time, you know? So I think it's going to be a good match on the night, Kenny. There are things that, yeah, they could have done differently, but I think given what they had, this is probably the best they could have done. That's my take on it. I thought the angle on Raw this week was pretty crazy, with all three of them being arrested and dragged off, and they had this big brawl backstage. So I know a lot of people were saying that it reminded them of the Attitude Era. It did feel very Attitude Era-esque.
I thought it was great. I loved the segment so much.
It went down a storm with the audience. So as like a final push for it on Raw, I think it was very effective. We learned on SmackDown that all three of them had been released from jail. Becky Lynch made an appearance and she came out and went through her cliches and her catchphrases on SmackDown. So there wasn't a whole lot done on SmackDown to promote the match, but that was really for the best because I think they'd gone as far as they could on Raw with what they did. So I think if they tried to do anything else, it would have diluted what they did on Raw. So I hope all that makes sense. It probably doesn't, but I think under the circumstances, they're doing what they've got to do. And they felt like, right, this match is going on last. We've got to make it as big as it can be. And I think they've done that, Kenny. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the segment this week was tremendous. It felt very well organised, very well put together. I thought that the fans were biting for everything. And, you know, it's very hard in 2019 to get something, but it was very tense, very realistic, but also so over the top that people could make memes about it and put videos to it and music and all that. And it was something that had something for everybody. So, and, you know, if, like anybody who goes, oh, well, the police work wasn't very good, you're like, come on. We used to watch The Undertaker sacrifice people. Like, is the bad policing really the hill to die on? Like, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, like, if you're watching wrestling, you've got to kind of suspend your disbelief a little bit. But you have to let things go.
I mean, the only thing was, the only part of it that was perhaps a bit ridiculous was putting Lynch and Rousey in the back of the same police car. But that had to happen in order for them to have the fight in the back of the car and for the fake window to be kicked through, which people absolutely erupted for.
Oh, so, that camera angle when you saw they were in the car together, and I mean, it was just so good. It was really, really, like, WWE, we should really praise them on how that was executed, that whole segment. It was, and even, like, Ronda was doing stuff, I was just going, she's so good. How do people not get how good she is sometimes? Like, she, you know, she's trying to, like, you know, because she's cuffed, she's trying to use her ankle to, like, you know, trip the police guy, because, you know, that's what she probably would do if she was in that situation. Ronda Rousey treats wrestling as she, whenever she's doing something like this, I always feel that she's kind of going, what would I do in real life if I was doing this? And I think that not enough people treat it like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the spot also where she's there in the back of the car and she leaned out and she's just feeding Charlotte, like, her chest and jaw for the big knee, which didn't look that amazing on normal speed. And then they showed it in slow-mo and it looked devastating. But she's leaning right out and it's like, right, give me that knee and I'm going to sell it like I've been hit with a brick. And it's just like, this is her. This is how good she is. It's like Lesnar. I've said this before. These two go into it with the mentality of, I'm going to make this look as real as possible, because if I do, it's going to affect people emotionally. They're going to get into it and they're going to suspend the disbelief, and they're going to be into my match more than they would be if I was doing what everyone else was doing.
Okay, so I mean that's pretty much that is the card. I mean, overall, I've got to say, I think the card is looking strong. You've got that triple threat match for the women's title. You've got Lesnar and Rollins, Kofi and Bryan, Triple H, Batista, Roman and Drew, AJ and Orton, Miz and Shane, and they're all the ones that I think you can kind of relax that they're going to be good. And then you've also got the stuff, you know, Kurt Angle's retirement match is going to be shenanigans there. What's Cena going to do? Who's going to interrupt Elias? I think there's enough on this show that has the potential to make it a really good WrestleMania, and it's all going to be in the pacing of how they do it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, some of the throwaway matches don't really matter, but I mean, the big matches do. And I think if the big matches matter, then that's good enough for me.
Now, if you were in New York, Finn, if you were here and you were, you know, is there anything else that you would check out this weekend? Is there any other promotions or shows that you would want to check out that are not WWE?
Well, I mean, we talked about it last week, the Ring of Honor New Japan show, just because it's in Madison Square Garden and I've never been there. And I think it's going to be a really good show. So that's one that I would definitely try and check out. I mean, what else is taking place? That I mean, we talked a bit about the Impact match, the Impact show a few weeks ago with Sabu and RVD versus Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. I mean, that looked like a pretty good show as well. I mean, that probably would be enough for me. I mean, WrestleMania, it's the, you know, you'd have to go and see TakeOver, wouldn't you? But could you can't go and see TakeOver and the Ring of Honor New Japan show, right? You can't see both, can you?
Only so now TakeOver's Friday night and then the MSG show Saturday. So you could go and see both. You obviously can't go and see the Hall of Fame now because that's head-to-head against MSG, but... now people can go and see NXT and ROH New Japan, which I guess is good for people who want to do both.
Yeah, that, absolutely. Sorry, I apologise for that.
It was head-to-head before, and then they changed it.
So. I think we might have even talked about this when they moved it. So, but yeah, I'd go
It's just your old age, Finn. You get forgetful. I'm here to remind you, don't worry.
Thank you, Ken. But yeah, I think I'd definitely go and see the MSG show. I'd see the TakeOver and WrestleMania. I think that would be enough, because you'd probably also go to Raw, because that's always... Are you sticking around for Raw on Monday, Kenny? When do you come back?
Raw and SmackDown.
Wow.
I mean, the thing is, if it's all in the same building and stuff, it's easy to get to. You know, why would you not just stick around an extra night and see what's going on? Yeah. Although, I tell you, every year I do the same thing. I watch SmackDown, and as soon as SmackDown's over, I'm leaving. I'm not sticking around for 205 Live.
I think people will probably have seen enough wrestling by then that they'll need a break. They'll need to return home and just no more wrestling for a while, thanks. I need to recharge my wrestling batteries.
Yes, give me a break. Okay, so listen, please, folks, head over to Patreon, patreon.com/insidetheropes, where you can get bonus content, including Finn and I are going to be talking your WrestleMania questions past and present. That'll be going up tomorrow, which is Friday, which is today if you're listening to this on the main feed. Also, you can go to youtube.com/insidetheropes for bonus interview content. We've got stuff going up with Mick Foley soon before WrestleMania. We've got the press interviews from WWE tomorrow, Chris Jericho interviews, Goldust talking about the backlot brawl from WrestleMania 12. Tons of good stuff up there. And then next week, Finn is going to have some bonus article stuff up there as well. There's a ton going on, Finn. Tons.
There's all sorts of stuff going on, Kenny.
All for the price of a large McDonald's meal. You get a ton of stuff, and it fulfills you for much longer.
Exactly. I mean, it'd be a bargain at twice the price, let's face it.
There you go. So, Finn, give us your plugs. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about you, see your lovely face, or just stalk you?
Well, as people know, I'm on Twitter at Finlay Martin. My website's finlaymartin.co.uk. I haven't updated it since the first week of January. Hopefully I will do soon. Probably not next week, because I'm writing up my Dustin Rhodes and my Katrina Waters interviews, plus watching WrestleMania TakeOver and all the other stuff. So it probably won't get updated next week, but hopefully the week after. Where can people find you, Kenny?
You can find me at KennyMC1985 or inside_the_ropes. Stay tuned to all of our social media for updates on everything. But yeah, thank you for all your support, everybody. We hope you enjoy WrestleMania weekend. It's always a blast, no matter what wrestling you want to check out. There's streaming sites for, you know, Fight TV and apps for everywhere, that no matter what show you want to see, I think every show is available online in some form. So I hope you enjoy whichever ones tickle your fancy. And yeah, I just used the term tickle your fancy. So that's a better way to sign off than anything else I can think of.
It's time to wrap this one up.
Bye, everybody. If I be tonight, if I'm sad tonight.